Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. We've started a new conversation about what it means to be fabric. It's not a definitive thing someone is trying to tell you as much as something we're continuing to explore together. But much like our food, we think there's something to notice about the ways our community can be fresh, organic, and local. Here's Melissa Locke with a fresh look at freshness.
I'm Melissa Locke, and I'm on staff with Fabric Minneapolis. And we've been gathering here at the Falls as much as possible this summer, and we will be today and two more weeks after this. So if you found us accidentally today or are visiting for the first time and you're wondering, what is this fabric thing all about? Who are we? What's going on? That's exactly what we're talking about right now. What is fabric all about? What does it mean to be fabric? So you're in the right place, and your fresh eyes fit very well with our theme today as of fresh. We are thinking this is an important question because fabric, being the community that we want it to be worth showing up for, worth investing our time, and a lot of us invest even money in fabric to make it a thing, to make it something we can come to together. What do we do that makes it worthwhile? We are part of this thing that has been going on for about 16 years, and we want to figure out how to be it in fuller and fuller ways. So before I talk much more about what fabric is, I want to actually invite you to think about it, especially those who have been around for a while. I want to know what you think fabric is. So the cardboard that Eric passed around, thank you. There's cardboard on your bench, and I want you to pass it down and in the middle, imagine that it says, fabric is dot, 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 okay? So you're going to come just add any words, fabric is what? So don't think too hard, kind of trust your gut. Just don't write the wrong answers, okay? Just kidding. There aren't any wrong answers. That's the whole point. So if you don't have a piece of cardboard, make sure to look around, grab one, there's markers, and write nice and big and bold. So pass that around, start adding. You can even draw a picture if that helps you communicate it better. And as people do that and fill up their cardboard on the bench, I can say a couple things. Fabric is not in the textile business. We also aren't a farmer's market, as much as this awesome sign might communicate. What we are is a community based in South Minneapolis. We know that. We try to ask why we do what we do and how we do this all the time, but we're being especially intentional about it this summer because Greg Meyer, who dreamed this community up and is often the one up here talking, he has taken a sabbatical this summer. And he left in June. He'll be back in October. And this gives us a great opportunity to say, wait, he's a really strong voice in our community, but fabric is bigger than one person, right? And it helps us say, what are we about? What it really makes us want to engage that question and gives us a chance to do it in some new ways. So that's why we've been doing the field trips that Steve talked about and meeting in backyards to reflect. And in July, we had all different Twin Cities artists come and help us figure out the art of togethering, as they called it. So through tap dancing and improv and spoken word and visual arts, we got a new glimpse. We got to turn this gem of this community. Another thing to know about us is that we don't have a building on purpose. We typically meet in a school, and we don't aspire to have a building. We were called Jacob's Well first, and then our name changed somewhere along the way. That's another factoid. And yeah, I think that's enough to go on for now. Can you hold up your cardboard? Let me just see if I can see some of the things people wrote. Okay, refreshing, challenging. Thought-provoking? Yep. Okay. Thoughtful, kind, community, friendly, inspiring, love, fun, being together, community conversations, connected. Can you shout out? I can't read that one. Thank you. Resilient. Lorene, what does yours say? Honest, it's my foundation. Friendships, community, place of reflection, cozy, peaceful, connection. Oh my gosh, can I show? Can you hold that up high?
Oh yeah.
One of our favorite words is messy and artful. Yes. Thank you. Comforting. Fun, inspiring. Fabric is you. Yeah. What does that one say, Moons? Open. Is it open?
Open-minded.
Open-minded. Okay, did I miss anybody over here? Yeah. Spirit refuge. I love hearing this in all these different words. Asking questions, community, being who you are. God, music. All right. Thanks, everybody. And it's kid inclusive. Thanks, everybody. All right, so you can keep adding to those as you want and doodling and decorating. Has anyone had someone ask you, maybe even here at the park if you're on the setup crew, like, so what's fabric? And is it ever kind of hard to explain? I'm seeing nods. I think the struggle is real. So I just want to affirm that. It is hard to put words around. And it really matters that we try to do it and that we practice. So next week, little Mabel Gish is going to be baptized over there in the creek. And her mom, Kayla, we were talking about it, checking in, and I said, so why do you want to do this? Tell me in your own words. And Kayla said something that I thought captured for me a really important way to think about fabric. She said, baptism with fabric is a promise of the village and the support that we need in raising Mabel, and the village and support she will need as she grows too. So the Gishes, Mabel, her family, you all, me, we don't need another thing to be busy with. I'm guessing that's true for all of us. But what we do need, what Mabel needs, is a community to move through life with, one that will help her connect to her deepest self, to God, as she might come to understand God, but those three letters just can't quite fully capture and never should. And how does she connect herself and this God with others in ways that are strong and resilient, as one of the cardboard signs said? So that's what being fabric, not going to fabric, is all about. But there's a word that we need to talk about. It seems to often be the elephant in the room. And it's this word right here, church. So I wonder what comes up for you when you think about that word. For some of us, it brings up warm thoughts, and maybe we're eager to dig deeper into spiritual questions that are about Jesus and about prayer, and those things don't trigger us at all. In fact, they feel like a helpful focus to put on our lives, something that can help us from just sort of flitting around with the latest fad and be rooted and grounded in something that's stable, like a bigger story, right? And so for today, you might be feeling like, you know, I'm happy to kind of lean into that word. I'd like to lean into it, maybe even more than I get to usually. Others of you might have come to fabric or seen that we are often called, you've heard someone say, church for people who don't like church. that might be why you even thought you might be willing to come along with someone who wanted you to find a church. And you said, well, maybe I could tolerate a church for people who don't like church. Because for many of us, church has a lot of baggage. It symbolizes an institution that has become maybe at best stale and not that relevant for our lives, maybe old-fashioned, maybe a little naive, and at worst, it's maybe done some harm for people. Or maybe you've witnessed the harm that has been done in the name of church or in the name of Jesus or in the name of Christians. And so that makes me want to lean out, right? Makes me want to lean a little bit away from that word. And there are parts of me and that relate to both of these leanings. So a part of me does not want to be part of anything that would create distance or dehumanize anyone or hurt anyone. And there's a part of me that really values and treasures the lineage that I come from and the stability that has, the stability and the focus that has offered, the rootedness and the groundedness. We said goodbye to my mother-in-law yesterday. Sue was staying with us for about a month, and as I watched her give our son, Peter, a hug goodbye, in my brain I was starting to picture my husband, Joe, hugging his grandma goodbye so many times that I had heard about it. And then I started to picture Sue herself, how she talked about her grandma, who was called Little Bam, as opposed to Big Bam, who was Joe's grandma. And I just had all these stories, and I was just imagining all the goodbye hugs that had happened over the years. And having that sense of, like, these ancestors and this lineage just felt really important and really precious. And then last night, I got to see my own aunts and uncles from South Dakota who I haven't seen in a long time. And one of them is Debbie, and she is one of the ancestor crazy people. And she put this book together for each of my kids. It's their whole family tree, as far back as we know it, and all these stories and newspaper clippings and artifacts from my family, from my heritage. That is important stuff. It has so much value. But like our families, the lineage of the church is mixed. And then if we're really interested in getting to know them, we can't idealize them anymore. And that's what we want to be about here, is a real thing, not an idealized thing that has to just be all perfect and blemish-free. So there are very good reasons to lean in toward this word church and all that brings, and equally good reasons to maybe lean away. If I could have about six people to come up here, and we're just going to illustrate something about this leaning in and leaning out thing. Jackie, awesome. You don't have any shoulder issues, do you?
Well, I don't know.
If you're worried about your shoulders. Moon. All right, Moon, thank you. So we're going to be in a circle here, and if you're feeling more like, I love church, I'm happy to talk about it, I want to lean in. Or even if there's this little part of you today that's a little bit more like that, and then you're going to, in a second, you're going to be a leaner-inner. Okay. And others who might feel like, I think I'm more of a leaner-outer today, that's the part of me I'm feeling. We're going to do that. And so we're going to grab hands here, and when I count to three.
You got to really hold on, Ramona.
Okay, so we're holding on. When I count to three, I'm trusting this is going to work, people. God, trust me, too. You either lean in or lean back, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. All right, okay, stand up. Way to go. Thank you, everybody. All right, you can have a seat. That was it. So what did you notice? We got a little wobbly, and up here I could feel like we were holding on to each other tight. And that's fabric. Fabric is in that tension. It's in that dynamic spot between those of us, those parts of us that really value this rootedness of a tradition and of stories, and also those parts of us that say, this needs to be looked at with eyes wide open and honestly at how that's been for people. And it needs to be put into new skin that feels fresh for people. So we're talking about what this looks like to live in this honest and dynamic tension of diversity and not conformity. And that helps us really sink our toes into the richness, the depth, the life, the rootedness that can come out of this big movement that we're part of. This big movement that we call church, that's been part of something that's been going on way before us and will go on way after us. And we want to do it with our eyes wide open. so that we can grow and be fabric together in ways that really matter, in ways that really bear fruit and give life. So we're letting ourselves be inspired by our gardens and by the farmers market, and we're talking about what it means to be church in these ways that are fresh and local and organic. And today is about fresh. As a starting point, you may have heard Steve say, "Welcome, Fabric," and it says, "Being Fabric," and this gets at one of the really fundamental things about Fabric that has been part of who we are this whole time, is this idea of being and not having church. So Fabric gathers here, it gathers for sure, but it's not a place that you go to. So if you have a church, or if you go to church, you can create a distance, right? It's something you can point to, it's outside of you. And we want to be about what's in here, about what we can be together, what's in us as a community. So some people ask, gosh, isn't it a lot of work to not have a building? But actually, we love not having a building because of the way it reminds us of this, that we are this movement. And we put it together each week and tear it down, and it's actually kind of fun. Together, we set it up, tear it down, and then we don't have a building to pay for and maintain the other 6 days of the week, right? It's just this one day a week where we invest our time together and we build something together, literally put it together. We don't have to build band shells, so that's nice. And we didn't have to put up the oak trees, so we are thankful for those. So being and not having a church, pretty basic to us, and yet it's kind of an unconventional way of talking. Like, we often have to remind when you're welcoming, like, don't say welcome to Fabric, okay? And it seems annoying, but it actually says something really important. It reminds us of this important part of who we are aspiring to be. So sometimes we talk weird. That's one of the ways that we try to stay fresh. And when I say fresh, here's what I mean by it. If something's been laying around too long, it isn't good to eat anymore. It's just that simple. And, you know, fresh food has a shelf life, right? But so do organizations and so do ideas. So it's not that there's nothing universal or enduring or important to look back on, but how we experience them, the package they come in, that needs to change for them to stay alive. This came home for me in a memory that I still kind of work with often, that I have with my grandma and my dad. We were driving her home, my dad and I. I was about 18, so of course I knew it all at that point. Like, I was pretty sure of a lot of things. We were driving home to her town in western Minnesota, and I had the courage or the audacity to ask her something I had really wanted to ask her and kind of poke her on. I asked her, why couldn't we take communion with her when we went to church? Why couldn't our family, like, go up there? I wish I could have seen my dad's face at the time, but she tried to explain to me how it was important to show up for communion in a certain way and to have, like, integrity and to have unity, and because we had chosen a different flavor of Lutheran, that we just couldn't do it there. We could come, but we just needed to sit out for communion. So I argued with her that because it just wasn't how I understood things. It wasn't what I felt even she modeled for me in the world. And I said, Grandma, I think God is just so much bigger than that. Like, why would God care about those specific ways that we talk about, or the ways we kind of put our business together in our church? And she said, well, I think she was exasperated by all the talking, but she said, how big do you want God to be? And I said, really, really big. Thank you. Really big, like bigger than we can hold, right? And so that was a moment where I feel like I got to witness this tendency of our institutions to kind of shrink God down and make it into this this package, and sucking all the life out of it for me. It almost felt like it gets set in stone, like it's petrified, right? If you think of a petrified wood, it was once alive, and now it's not going to change, but it also doesn't have any life in it. So I don't know about you, but I think life should be about living. And especially like the guy that is at the heart of all this said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And people hung out with this guy, Jesus, and they felt alive in new ways. And they started sharing it and practicing it. And that's where a movement began. And so instead of like becoming a museum, we are trying to stay a movement of things that are alive. So church is meant to be a movement, not a museum, not a mausoleum, to use another M word with dead things in it. So it's really interesting how, as I've wrestled with this idea about how to be fabric in fresh ways, I've been drawn to look back so much. Yesterday, I was telling you those stories, but I was also thinking even about fabric's history. So before there was a place to this community or a name or anything, before I knew most of you, and I can't really imagine my life without you at this point, I do remember I knew Greg, and I remember he had gotten a gift from his family. He had started envisioning this community, and they had found something for him that he was super excited about. And when I heard about it, I thought, yeah, I'm in. And it was this rock about this big. And we have it at Field in a storage closet right now. So I'm going to describe it to you. It's a rock, and it says these words etched into it. And the words are, nothing is written in stone. Written in stone. It's just a great example of the irony, the both ands that we kind of navigate as a community in order to stay alive. So things are going to change. We're going to try things in order to stay alive as a community, being about what matters most. But part of me thinks, why all this change? Like, don't we need a place where we can have stability, where we can like not feel so shaky all the time? And I think that's a great question to ask. Like, where will my reliability, my stability in my life come from? Do I want it to come from a church that reliably never changes anything? Or do I want it to come from a community that is reliably there for me and the people I love? Do I want it to have a sense of constancy because I know the same things are going to be repeated every week? Or because there's this constant, meaningful questioning and wrestling going on that I get to be a part of? All right, so something that I think illustrates this super well that I was able to borrow from my neighbors, thank you. So Isla is here today, and she let me borrow this bike that she learned on. And it's called a balance bike. This one's called a Strider. And when I was a kid, I learned on a different kind of bike. For decades, I think the way that a lot of people learned to ride a bike was with training wheels. Anyone else? Training wheels? Yes? Yeah, and so on those, you started tipping a little and the training wheels would catch you. But on the balance bike, a guy named Carl, I can't remember his name right now, but he realized that kids don't learn how to ride bikes that way. Well, they do eventually, but what they need is to experience the balance, you know, to like have their feet and then be able to pick them up and feel that gliding. And so he said, let's take the training wheels off. Let's take the pedals off. So he like took things away and made the bike simpler, and then it worked better. It was this fresh take on teaching people how to ride a bike. And it was a fresh take that actually was based on how kids are made and how physics works, and it just made all this sense. So I love that as an example for us. I mean, we want church to work and to make sense, and I wonder if it just doesn't have to always be so complicated. Maybe there's things we can strip away that used to be just considered standard, used to be convention, right? So this is the bike Isla rides now. And Scout is able to ride it across. All right. Okay, turn around and come on back, Scout. Using the pedals, balancing. Come on back this way. Yay! All right. All right, can you come one more time, Scout, and just ride up to me here so we can see how you do that a little bit better? Yeah, and just kind of stop right here by me. Okay, so I want to see how you balance a little better. So can you just balance, like pick your feet up off the pedals, but don't go anywhere? Yeah, so don't pedal, just balance. It's really hard. Why? Well, so how do you balance? What do you have to do? Oh, you got to pedal. You got to move your feet, okay? We got to move. Thank you. One more time. Thank you, Scout. So how often do we act like we need to find our equilibrium by standing still or by keeping things how they were? When really, maybe it's more like riding a bike, where it's in the movement that we find something deeper. We find a sense of balance, and it's fun. Sometimes one of the things that I can get a little petrified about or like feel like this is a solid thing, we should talk about Jesus at least once during every message. Like we should always just mention Jesus, right? It feels like that's a should sometimes. I mean, we're a church, aren't we? Or aren't we? I don't know. And so this is a struggle that I don't think I'm alone in. And other people are like, no, that's okay. We can just not ever talk about the Bible. And there's this book that kind of helped me make some sense of it, and I was reminded of it on one of our field trips that I went on to Recovery Church. And it's called Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time. And I had been given this book, so it was like a reminder of me to go back to this book and look at it again. And I actually read it from cover to cover last weekend. And I feel like Jesus' message was fresh for me again for the first time. The way that Marcus Borg, the theologian and historian, describes his journey with getting to know Jesus and then kind of rejecting what he thought he knew and then re-embracing this new kind of understanding was really helpful for me and I think for us, and it kind of affirmed why Jesus would be worth talking about, but it also told me even Jesus wouldn't want us to just talk about him, just to talk about him. He wants it to make a difference. Like, he wasn't here to talk about himself. He was here to weave life deeply and help other people get to know a compassionate presence in the world, a big love that we just couldn't see in the conventional wisdom. There's all kinds of stories in this book about all the stories of Jesus messing with the experts of the time and the kind of the powers that be who knew how things went. Like, they knew the rules. They knew how the world worked. They knew the people who were doing it right and the people who weren't doing it so well. And Jesus kind of messed with them. They didn't really like all his unconventional talk and flipping things upside down and telling these stories that messed with their kind of way of understanding and constructing the social order. And here's one piece of it I just wanted to read from this book about what it means if you want to get to know Jesus and hang out with him and follow. And it sound, I wrote fresh in the margins. He said, following after Jesus means to be an itinerant, a sojourner, to have nowhere to lay your head, no permanent resting place. It means undertaking the journey from life of conventional wisdom to life in an alternative wisdom, from life in our Egypt and our Babylons, which is very Bible-y, but there's some really big, deep stories that we would all relate to about feeling like we want to come home, like we need some liberation. And this journey of moving to this alternative wisdom of life in the Spirit. To journey with Jesus means listening to his teaching, sometimes understanding it, sometimes not quite getting it. It can even involve denying him and betraying him. There are no requirements. Even denying Jesus didn't disqualify people from the journey. Following Jesus might be following this more unconventional path that might feel like it has resistance, but it's also like a journey home to how things are made, kind of like riding that balance bike. It's a journey to what matters most, to places where we can make messes and be in the presence of people and of a universe, of a God who loves us because God loves us just because God loves us. Brittany Gilman was talking to me about one of her early memories of coming to Fabric, and they had come like two or three times, and she walked up to the table and she said, "What do we have to do to join?" And I said, "Well, you've been coming a couple times, you're in. That's all you have to do. You're here. You're in." And she seemed surprised because she had kind of grown up with that conventional idea of like, oh, we need to have a membership process. And so that's one of the things that we thought it just didn't make sense. So I still think of my grandma's church and that story of me with her in the car. And when I took a look at it from this fresh perspective, I'm really challenged with the way my own heart can so easily become petrified. Like, I think about how I kind of approached her with this hardness and this certainty about what I thought, how I thought her experience should be and what it was doing. And I think it's, there's a hardness and an impatience and a rightness that I even approach myself with, right? That we might do to ourselves. Like, we need to be the experts. We need to look competent. I don't like feeling like a new bike rider. I also don't like feeling like a new public speaker about ideas that are way bigger than me. it's wobbly. And so we have to be brave and try things and practice. And so before we move on from these ideas, I want to just ask you to write down or kind of hold these two words in your minds about how we do this together. How do we move in fresh ways together to keep Fabric being meaningful and to keep Fabric being this community that means so much to us, that works for real people with real lives? It is messy and hard work sometimes. Like, we will have a lot to clean up. But also, the balance bike kind of reminds me that same maybe what Jesus meant, that it doesn't have to be so hard all the time. Jesus, he said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So maybe it's easier than we made it, gripping like we do. And maybe when we open up to honor the way things really are, to this wisdom that's kind of already woven into us and to all things around us, that it might feel off balance sometimes, but we don't need to be protected from that. We're made for that. We're made to move and roll and create. We might even find some ease and some joy in that moving together, that discovery and that unfolding. So to be that kind of community, I think we need to give up the idea of being experts and take on a new idea. And at Fabric, we call it excellence. And a lot of people think, oh my gosh, excellence, I can't do that. But excellence is not the same as perfection. So we talk about excellence as doing the best we can with what we have. And that means that we also have to be patient when we feel ourselves gripping or feel ourselves falling. We have to soften up and be patient with ourselves and each other and be gentle with all of us as we try to be excellent. Don't hold on to what was or get stuck on what used to be. I'm about to do a new thing. It is springing up already. Don't you see it? 2,700-year-old words from a Hebrew prophet. Don't hold on to what was or get stuck on what used to be. I'm about to do a new thing. It's springing up already. Do you see it? So you are part of that life springing up already. It's coming through your own unique way of being excellent, imperfectly you, doing the best you can with what you have. And it's coming up through your practice of patience with yourself and with other people. And part of what makes it possible to pick your feet up off the ground and put them on the pedals of a bike is seeing others who are doing it. So thank you for being one of those people that shows others how to trust.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wanderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.